This is Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, episode 11. All right, let's rock.
Welcome to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, your resource for marketing ideas, sales tips, and business strategies that help agents like you survive and thrive. And now your host, John Carroll.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Insurance Marketing with John Carroll. I am John Carroll. I'm the CEO of Insurance Splash, and I welcome you to join me for another episode of the podcast that helps insurance agents and insurance producers be more successful. Today's topic is something that, I hope they all are like this, but certainly this is one that affects every insurance agency everywhere on the planet. And the idea here is retention. How can we get customers who sign up with us to keep paying us month after month, year after year, decade after decade? And everybody knows this. I'm not going to sit here and talk forever about retention and why it's important, but the main idea here is that the whole insurance business is about retention. If you only made money when you sold new policies, which I know there's some guys out there that kind of have that situation, but the whole reason that the insurance business works and people are able to do it for 20 years and then really make a lot of money and be successful is because they can build up a book of business. You already know that. But the question is, how much time, how much effort are you really focusing on retention? Now, I've found that I can talk to a lot of agents, and it's funny because I'll talk to an agent who has a retention of 60%, and I'll talk to an agent who has a retention of 95%. And the funny thing about it is they'll both tell me the same thing. They'll both tell me, yeah, you know, that's my retention, John, but to tell you the truth, I mean, what can you do? You know, people are going to stay with you or they're not going to stay with you. And, you know, we try to help out. We try to do what we can. But for the most part, you know, it's up to them. And although I hear that a lot, I kind of, to tell you the truth, I feel like that's really just the response of, you know, we're not really exactly sure what we could do to make a difference on retention. And so we're going to have the idea that we're doing all we can and that it pretty much is what it is. So, like, I get it. But anyways, that's why I wanted to put together a bunch of ideas about how you can improve your retention. In fact, I have so many different ideas. There's 34 of them that I'm going to split this up into two separate podcasts. So we'll do 34 divided by 2, I think is 17. Carry the 1, 17. So we'll do 17 this time, and I'll do 17 in the next podcast, all about retention. So 34 ideas. How to improve your retention. If your retention is at 100%, just turn this off. You don't need to listen to it, okay? So if you're still with me, then I'll assume that you could use an idea or two. Here is 17. Number one is very simple. You've heard it before. More customer contacts. The more times that you can stay in contact with your customer, the better your retention is going to be. And, you know, one of the key things, I mean, it probably goes without saying, but a few things that I'll mention about this is, number one, how many times do you think people get that renewal in the mail and they say, Jesus, I never even hear from this guy? You can't have that, okay? What you would want them to say is, oh, I'm not going to renew with this guy because he contacts me too often. I don't want to hear from him anymore, so I'm going to cancel this policy. I don't think anybody has ever said that. The more contacts that you can make with your clients, the better. But the key is you want to do it in different ways. You want to do it by email, phone call, newsletters, postcards, offering seminars, holiday, you know, happy birthday cards, and all these different things. The more ways you can touch people, the better your retention is going to be. And one key thing that you might not be thinking about is that the more you touch them, the more opportunity they have to reach out to you if there is a problem. So how many times have you gotten a phone call from somebody who, you know, maybe they just think their prices are too high, but the reason they called you is because you sent them like a holiday card or they got an email from you or whatever it is. When you reach out to your clients, it gives them a reason to call you back. And wouldn't you rather have them calling you to talk about how you can maybe reduce the price of their insurance or to remind them about the value of what they have? Wouldn't you rather be having that conversation than a, oh, you want to cancel your policy? Oh, you've already got something else. That's not a good conversation. So the more ways you can get contacts with your clients, the better off. Number two is to cross-sell more. The more lines of insurance somebody has with you, the higher their retention. Now, I don't know the exact numbers because it probably depends where you get them from, but company I used to work for used to say that, you know, our average retention was somewhere around, I want to say like 85%. And if they could add another line of insurance, it would go up to 92. These are rough numbers, whatever, to just get an idea here. But the key thing here is that when a customer had three lines of insurance, and most typically I'm going to say that's like auto, home, and life, the retention rate went up to like 98, 99%. So what does that mean? If you can sell more, you'll retain more. It's like a win-win, all right? And I'll talk some more about how you can do more cross-sells and other things. That's not really the focus here. But the more you cross-sell, the more you will retain. And obviously, the more money you'll be making because you got more policies out there. Number three, how to improve your retention is to really make an effort to do annual coverage reviews. And I'm going to give you a great little thing to consider when it comes to your annual coverage reviews and retention. A lot of agents sometimes get frustrated because if they try to do coverage reviews, a lot of people don't want to do them, or they feel like it's a hassle, or they're just not interested, or maybe they think that you're just trying to sell them something else. The simple act of asking people if they want the coverage review is a huge boost to your retention, because if they have a problem, they can say yes. If they say no, they don't want to have a coverage review, that's fine too. The point is that you're making an effort, and they cannot say, why do I keep paying this guy for? He does nothing for me. You know, they might say, well, he's really trying and I'm not giving him a chance. But the key thing is that you're relaying that tension or that frustration that they might have by, you know, they might feel like you're not doing anything for them. So even if 9 out of 10 people say, or 19 or 99 out of 100 people say, no, I don't want a coverage review, if you ask them for it, you're putting the onus on them, you know, that it's up to them to turn you down from providing value. And you don't want people to have to ask you for your value. So ask for those coverage reviews. And another quick little thing to consider here is that a coverage review does not mean that they have to come into your agency and sit down with you and have a set appointment from 9:30 to 10:30 where you're going to go through these things. It could be a simple thing over the phone where you ask 10 different rapid-fire questions, get 10 different answers, and if something comes up that deserves a better conversation, you know, then you could schedule that in. The key is, you know, to make that offer, let them take you up on it if it's interesting to them, but you want to respect their time. Number four for retention is, it's the same kind of idea as a coverage review like I just talked about, but in this case, I'm talking about discount reviews. And I love this because the coverage review, I think a lot of people, a lot of customers out there, when they hear that term coverage review, they kind of think maybe you're just trying to like get them in there to sell them something, or you're trying to find out if they're missing some insurance. And a lot of people kind of like would rather not have that conversation and not even have all the insurance that they should have, because they're kind of afraid of feeling like they have to buy more of something that they're content with right now. But a discount review is a different situation. This is where you're saying, hey, listen, it's important to us that our clients have the cheapest coverage that they can have all the time, because we would hate to lose you to another company only to find out that we could have saved you more than them if we made sure that we gave you all the discounts. And over time, sometimes people, they earn discounts that they're not getting right now. So, you know, you can just come up with a simple little 10-question quiz of, hey, have you taken a defensive driver class in the last year? You know, does your kid have better grades than they had last time? Has anything changed in your life that would be directly relevant to a discount? Asking those questions is huge, because it just shows that you're going out of your way to try to save them money. And here's a extra special little secret bonus tip from me is, take that discount review and add a few extra questions that will help you sell more stuff. Okay. Shoot, I can't think of a good example off the top of my head right now. But, well, here's an example I talk about a lot, is you can ask them, if you're talking about cars, you can say, hey, do you have a hitch on your car? Okay. And they might say yes, they might say no. But the point is, if they say yes, then you can ask, well, what are you towing? And if they say that they tow, you know, their camper or their motorcycle or whatever it is, it might be something that needs insurance coverage. So my idea is to ask those discount questions, but squeeze a couple in there that might be good opportunities so that you can sell more. Number five is to improve and strengthen your onboarding process. This is something that I think a lot of agencies could really get a huge benefit from. In the business of insurance, almost every single agency finds that their retention is lower for brand new customers than it is for long-term customers. It makes sense if you think about it. Someone who just came to you has less loyalty. They're probably more of a shopper since they proved it by coming over to you. And that's why it's really important that we spend more time and we focus on those people at the beginning of their lifetime, customer lifetime with us, than later on. And one way you could do that is to really make sure that your onboarding process is great. You know, I kind of like to use the analogy of a wedding. You know, when we do weddings, it's in our society, it's this big event where all these people come and you exchange vows and there's all this ceremony and oh, shoot, I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, but it's a big deal when people get married. And why is that? Because a marriage is a really big deal, and it's really hard. And it's really all the more important that you're really solidifying that relationship at the beginning. So think about your onboarding process with customers, and think about a wedding between two people that are deciding to spend the rest of their lives together. Is there anything that you could do with your onboarding process to make it more impactful, more memorable, more strengthening between yourself and the client? I'll do a podcast, write blog article. At some point, I'm sure I'll do something with a bunch of different ideas of how you can do that. But for now, you got to figure that out yourself. Number six is to call your clients before they get premium increases. I know a lot of agents don't like to do this because they say, you know, if I call them, I'm going to bring attention to it. It's just going to cause more problems. I'd rather just, you know, hope that they don't notice and then, you know, let the sleeping dog lie. Well, that's not really being true to yourself. I'm sorry, you can disagree with me. Feel free to disagree with me, but I very strongly believe that that's not really what agents think. I think they're just making excuses because they know that premium increase phone calls suck. But deep down, I think a lot of agents know that if they made those calls, it would improve their business. It's just that it's bad. It's not a good conversation. Nobody wants to do it. So we'll kind of tell ourselves, well, you know, it's probably better that we don't do it. The truth is that there are companies that have taken statistics on this exact thing. And what they've found is clients are happier when they get a premium increase and you call them about it than if there wasn't even a premium increase at all. It shows that you're going out of your way to help them. And a lot of times, you know, with those premium increases, just remember it's more money for your agency. It might not feel that way for any one of your clients because you're more likely to lose them. But heck, a 10% raise across your entire book is a 10% raise for you. So I know it's unpleasant, but you just got to swallow that and trust the evidence that proves that reaching out to people before those increases is going to result in better retention for you. And one trick you can do is if the numbers are too hard for you to figure out, then sort your list. Hopefully you have this information from your carriers or your agency management system, but sort your list so that you're reaching out to the people who are having the largest premium increases, or potentially sort your list by the people who are paying you the most amount of money, because that would be the biggest problem to lose those people. You know, decide which is better for you, but making those phone calls is better than trying to ignore the problem. It's not going to go away, but being proactive is going to help you. Number seven is to set your clients up with automatic payments. This one is huge. If your carriers, however they allow it, if they allow the EFT payments that come directly out of the checking account, that's really the best for retention. But if you can, if you can't do that because of your carrier or because of the client, try to get them set up on automatic credit card or whatever else there is. But if people don't have to think about it, it's going to improve your retention. It also does a bunch of other things too. It means that they're less likely not to pay their bill. It's less likely that they're going to get canceled. It's less likely that they're going to be in some situation where they just got in a horrible car accident and their coverage isn't active. And now it's a huge problem. So get those automatic payments set up. And I think we can probably all agree that when things are set up on automatic payment, we are a lot less likely to cancel it because it's a big pain in the butt. You got to turn it off as opposed to actively paying something every month. That was number 7, set up automatic payments on every client. Number 8 is basically just get more referrals. Now, the reason that I'm saying that getting referrals is going to help your retention is, I guess there's a couple reasons. For one, somebody who was referred to your agency by their friend, they are going to retain better because their whole onboarding process was strengthened by the fact that they received a recommendation from their friend. But that's not the main point that I want to talk about here. The main point I want to talk about here is that when I can get client A to go out to their friend, prospect A, and say, hey, this agency is the best insurance agency. If you're going to buy insurance, you got to at least give them a try. These guys are awesome. When you get your client to refer their friends, your client becomes more loyal to you. And the reason is because they've now referred their friend. If they went and canceled their policy after recommending their friend to come do business with you, they would look like an idiot. There would be a dissonance between what they're telling other people and what they're doing themselves. So the more you can get people to refer your agency, the more those people are actually going to stay with you. So it's like a win-win. It's a really great situation. I'm going to talk real soon about more ways that you can get more referrals here on the podcast. So stay tuned for that. Number 9 is to shop rates for your clients. Whether if you're an independent agent, don't wait for them to contact you to find out if they can save money. See if you can shop rates for them. Even if you were to just, you know, once a year, send them an email that says, hey, we shopped your coverage and this is what the prices were. It's, you know, you're in a great place. Let's stay where you are. That's a fantastic benefit. And the great thing about doing that is that you're kind of being proactive. You're, for anybody who says, oh, I really think it's smart as a consumer to shop my insurance rates every year, well, you do it for them. And now they feel like they don't even have to because it's already been done for them. And the beauty of it is that you didn't shop those other companies that maybe they could have gotten a cheaper rate for. But, you know, people are just going to feel like, oh, check that one off the list. Shop my rates every year. My agent does that for me. I don't have to do that. That's going to improve your retention. Now, you might be saying, well, what about if I'm a captive carrier and I only have one rate? Well, that's not necessarily true. You know, you could be creative about things. And I don't mean, you know, obviously you can't get quotes for other carriers and send them to your client, but you could do things like, you know, once a year you could send them out, hey, if you were to go do this, I could get you this discount. If you were to go take a defensive driver class, I could save you this much money for them. So in a way, you're kind of shopping around the rates. You're giving them some options. You're giving them shopping behavior once a year or whatever without actually giving them, making them have to go out and do it themselves. So that was number 9. Number 10 is just the idea of pre-renewal phone calls. These are just reaching out to your clients and telling them that, you know, you appreciate their business and you appreciate their continued loyalty. If you can do this and reach out to them a little bit before the renewal shows up, that's a good thing because then when it shows up in the mail, they're going to be feeling like, you know, you have reached out to them. The worst possible situation is for somebody to get a renewal and to say, why am I going to renew with this guy? I never hear from this guy. And you can be really smart about it so that you're focusing most of your contacts and your attention right before people's renewals, and that's going to get you the best bang for your buck. That leads me perfectly into the very next idea, which is number 11, and this is pre-renewal holiday cards. Now, I know a lot of agents that like to send out like the Christmas cards or the holiday cards at the end of the year, and I think that's cool. But for somebody whose policy renews, let's say, in June, how much benefit are you getting out of that Christmas card? Because their policy renews in June, they have to think about it 6 months later. And that effect of that card you sent 6 months prior is a lot weakened. So the idea, this might be a little bit tricky, but the idea is if you're going to send out a holiday card to every one of your clients once a year, send it out the month before their renewal for whatever holiday is there. Send them a Valentine in February if they renew in March. If they renew in November, send them a Halloween card. Okay, nobody's going to care. And the cool thing is, too, that when you send a card for a holiday that people aren't already getting a lot of cards, it actually makes yours stand out a lot. So that's cool. And if they ask you about it, just say, yeah, I always send holiday I always send Halloween cards. I'm just a huge fan of Halloween. I love President's Day, whatever it is. So we always send those out. And that's a way that you can kind of hit people with a holiday card once a year, save yourself the biggest budget. And it's not that big a deal. You just take your list and audit it for who's renewing in what month. Boom. You know, it's another way to get more value for your money. And I like giving you ideas like that. Number 12, remind your clients of the benefits that they get for their longevity. Now, I can tell you from firsthand experience, one of the huge benefits that clients get in longevity is that their claims are more likely to be paid. I know this sounds ridiculous, and maybe I'll be in trouble from somebody for saying this, but when we used to be getting a claim coming into when I was a claim adjuster, and there was any question about whether there was coverage because maybe the person didn't pay on time, or maybe it was a situation where it was questionable whether we actually owed anything, the first question that they used to ask of the person who was investigating the coverage was, how long has this person been a customer? If someone has been a customer for 10 years, then they will definitely work harder to pay a claim. And I can tell you, in situations where you're talking about a lot of money involved, that's a huge thing. So just make sure when you're talking to your clients, and you know, if you're reaching out to them and saying, hey, we appreciate your continued loyalty, if you can find a good way to mention the fact that their longevity is giving them other benefits, make sure that you do that, because people are often more afraid of losing something than they are happy to gain something. So, you know, if somebody's been around for 5 years, make sure that they know that that's a huge thing in the eyes of the company. And you know, whatever other kind of benefits their longevity gets, make sure that they know about that. Number 13 is to focus more on client education. Now, the point here I'm trying to get to is basically anything you can do to get people thinking about things with insurance besides price, that's going to help you. When all people know about insurance is the price of it, then you're not putting yourself in the right situation to keep them for a long time. So whether you think it's going to help you with the sale or not, just make sure that all of your onboarding process includes education and, you know, annual education. That's part of what the policy review is about. You know, the better educated your clients are, the more they're going to see the value in what you do. But if you fail to educate them, they will not see the value. They're not going to see it because you see it. They have to be taught that value. Number 14 is random acts of kindness. And a random act of kindness is, you know, maybe like an occasional handwritten note or a personal email to your clients. You know, little things like having balloons in the office that you can give to the kids when they walk in there. Just little things that you can do that are above and beyond what people are expecting are going to give them that warm, fuzzy feeling. When the renewal comes in the mail, they'll be a little bit more likely to sign it. That was number 14. Number 15, this is a tip. Maybe I've talked about this here on the podcast before. I'm not sure. Remembering the names of your clients' children is a really, really valuable tool for just making people feel more loyal to you. And the reason for that is because it basically just makes people feel like you really care about them. And I can tell you from my own experience, I have two daughters. And, you know, when somebody remembers my name, it makes me feel good. But when somebody can actually say one of my daughter's name, like, oh, how's, I don't like to talk about their names here on the podcast, but, you know, how is Susie? The fact that they remembered me, it just makes me feel like, wow, this is somebody who's really paying attention. They're not just talking to me to be nice. They've actually remembered my kids' names. And I've been in agencies before where, actually, I'll tell you this is the exact situation. I remember I used to work with this agent, and he was like a really old timer, and everybody inside the corporation thought he was like this clueless old, crazy old man. But I remember sitting in his office one day, and every single person that walked into that agency, he'd be like, oh, how's Barbara? How's Judy? How's this person? And everybody, you know, and maybe half the times he was wrong. I have no idea. People were just being nice. But like, you could see the look on people's faces, just that little, that spark that would light up when he remembered who their family was, that it just really showed them that he cared about them and their family. And, you know, that it's absolutely something that's going to help you with retention. So remember the client's children. If you have an agency management system, that you can put that information in there so that if they're calling on the phone, you're looking up the policy, there's the information in front of you, do it. That's fantastic. Number 16 is to give people some kind of an anniversary present. So, you know, earlier I talked about how your onboarding process should be similar to a wedding. You know, the bigger it is, hopefully the more commitment that people have 5 years later when, you know, things are tough. But just like weddings, every year we kind of, you know, with a wedding, you do like an anniversary, and it's kind of like a renewing of the commitment that the people have made. And, you know, this is something that you can do with your clients. You know, it doesn't have to be anything big because it's the thought that counts. At least that's what I like to tell my wife. Number 17 is to give clients some kind of a reward for their renewals. And, you know, there's laws and things. You can't give people too much stuff. But, you know, another thing, an idea that you can use is to give people some kind of appreciation, whether you're sending them like your own agency swag or like a mug with your name on it or whatever. But after people renew for the, you know, after the first year or whatever, if you have something you can send out to them, do it. So that was numbers 1 through 17 of things that you can do to boost your retention. Tune in next week. I'm going to give you another 17. Hopefully I think you'll like those just as much as these. That's all I got. If you want to see more information about any kind of things that I talked about in this episode, you can find that in the show notes, which you'd be able to find at insurancesplash.com/11, the number 11, 1-1. That'll take you right to the show notes about this episode where I'll have more information. So I don't know what I talked about that would be there today. But anyways, you can go there and you can make comments or ideas or anything that you want to say about this episode. One other thing is that I would absolutely be smitten. I'd be so excited if you went out to iTunes and you wrote a 5-star review about this podcast. The more 5-star reviews I get, the easier it is for an insurance agent like yourself to find me in iTunes. And that's important to me. So if you could do that as a way of saying thank you, it would certainly put a huge smile on my face. I'm John Carroll, and that's all I have for today. Have a great day. Sell lots of insurance. Take care. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to Insurance Marketing with John Carroll, brought to you by InsuranceSplash.com. Now get out there and sell insurance.